This is
Six Music.
Complete Control. Hi, Polly. Xerox. One of the greatest singles ever made, and it never dates. And it did sound absolutely terrific. Does it bring back the memories, Adam, hearing that?
Yeah, well, I did it at the Roundhouse studio.
Right.
That was right next door to the Roundhouse, and I remember, opening the grand piano and hitting it with a... Hitting the strings on the on the piano with a drumstick and trying all manner of experimentation, but it's surprising how many vocals are on that.
Yes, I was thinking that. Tons of backing vocals as well, isn't there?
Yeah, I do all the vocals and really high.
Do you do all those BVs on it?
Yeah.
Wow, I was just saying here, look at the fantastic backing vocals, that's the fantastic backing vocals by those girls, it sounds like Star Trek.
Yeah, I think my voice hadn't broken when I did it.
It sounded fabulous.
We're doing that every night, we're playing that all the time.
Great. It's really good to talk to you again.
You too, thank you.
And you're taking that on the road with the good, the mad and the lovely posse of the Blue Black Hussar Tour,
yeah,
which kicks off on November the 1st in Glasgow, and then goes pretty much everywhere. You looking forward to it?
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. We're really ready. We just finished an American tour,
yeah.
22 shows out there, and we're in good shape and fine fettle, and we're looking forward to playing some of the new stuff as well on the tour. So it's just been a wonderful time to get back on the road.
Sure. What was America like? What your first time around, did America kind of took you under its wing then, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we went over there. It was all a bit crazy because we went over there with Kings of the Wild Frontier, and they had, they hired a big clipper ship, a massive sort of galleon, and had come up the Hudson and dropped us off, and it was all just pandemonium when we went there. But after that, I just sort of after the band split the Ants split up, because we didn't take Prince Charming to America, it was a stage show, but I've done sort of six tours of America with all the solo stuff, so it was going back this time, it was just amazing, the audiences there and the response, and I was just amazing. It was
because I'm guessing that the big first time around pop hits, the Prince Charmings and Kings of the Wild Frontier, would have been big MTV hits, wouldn't they? Or would they not? Was it too early for MTV?
It was right on the start of MTV, the very first thing with the, picking up the phone, I want my MTV.
Yeah.
And no one really knew MTV would be as explosive or as important as it was. But for me, it was on that first wave. And so people got a chance to sort of see us before on MTV before we arrived, so there was an expectancy set up. But I really did put a lot of groundwork in there touring with every album, and it's MTV was absolutely instrumental initially, but a few years down the line, it broadened out and gone a bit mainstream, so it was a good job that I did the touring first.
We've got tons of correspondence here, and loads of people saying loads of fantastic things. I'll just delve in a circle with a few of them. Adamant is a musical legend, and his music still lives on in mysterious places, says Sally Roydhouse. I was walking through the streets of Bridlington the other day, and the bin lorry was collecting bins. They were blasting out the Kings of the Wild Frontier album. Sally says, love to Adam for being the inspiration for my creative life that I was inspired to leave in the 80s and still today. Johnny Normal says, we've been supporting Adam this year at quite a few gigs. Say hello to him for me.
Oh, yeah, Johnny. Yeah,
and wish him good luck with his new single, Cool Zombie. More of that in a moment. We know Adam's on today, says Ingrid, and a lot of stuff. Could you say hello to him on behalf of my daughter, Neve, who is only 10, but is the greatest Adamant fan? She has all the albums, knows all the words, and doesn't listen to anything else.
Great.
She can't come to any gigs on the tour because she's not old enough. You've got to be 14 to get to the University of East Anglia, which is news. But she has the same, this is so brilliant, she has the same pin-up poster in her bedroom that I had when I was her age in the early 80s. Which, that is sweet, isn't it?
That's fabulous, yeah. I mean, come better than that.
That is fabulous. Do you get the feeling, because I certainly do, that there's a massive, at the moment, and for the last year or so, a massive wave of kind of love for you, and people saying, people really kind of reveling in you coming back and welcoming you back.
Yeah, I've certainly felt, a great deal of, love coming out of there.
Yeah.
And the audiences have been, really magnificent on both sides of the Atlantic. And I think it was primarily due to the fact that, fortunately, I love playing live, and I started pretty much in London playing the 100 Club and some of the old haunts, and sort of built it up very gradually. And it took about a year to find the right band, and the band now is really tight. I've got a great band, which helps enormously. But the response to the songs is some of the, because I'm doing quite a, not just the sort of hits, but I'm doing quite rarities, B-sides, and album tracks. It's amazing the response to some of the rarer songs gets as much of a response as Stand and Deliver and that sort of stuff, so you really know they're listening. It's a great privilege to be doing it, really.
It's funny how what goes around comes around, doesn't it? And it's like, it's almost like people now say, I mean, this is a great quote on the front of the ply of the tour. I got, the last truly magnificent pop star Britain ever produced, said Esquire, which is high praise, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, it's so wonderful.
But I know what they mean. I mean, I think people now, you listen back and you hear those great records and think, this was fantastic. This had the kind of swagger and brilliance that all great pop music has. And sometimes you have to be reminded of that, do you think? And I think people do you get people coming up now and saying those you know, you were part of my youth, and you know, and it's fantastic to hear them done again?
Yeah, I mean, daily it's you know, meeting some of the audience and going into the gig, doing, you know, meet and greets and, yeah, and such like, and a lot of letters, enormous amount of letters from people saying, you know, I grew up with your music and it got me through periods of my life, yeah, that were difficult, you know, as a student and what have you. But the nice thing is it's down to the music, you know, when, sure, when you get on that stage and it's 100% live, all the supposition and everything is, sure, is out the window. You just got to cut it, and it's that's always been the challenge for me. It's like running a marathon every night, and afterwards you're completely exhausted, there's nothing left, but you've given everything you've got, and yeah, it's an amazing sort of euphoric feeling that, you know, you can't sleep for hours afterwards. It's just a marvellous, yeah, feeling.
You still using the two drummers?
Yeah, yeah, wow. Yola and Andy.
Yeah, I saw you at Latitude with two. It was fantastic.
Yeah, they're really, you know, it's lovely to have a young, kind of enthusiastic band yeah, supporting, and they all sing, which helps me enormously. I just focus on the lead vocal, and it's just it's a joy to be doing it, you know.
Tell you what, let's come bang up to date. Let's hear the new. Now, am I right in saying that Cool Zombie is the first new record from you in how long, is it, Adam?
17 years, yeah. It's hope to not leave it so long next time, but this is the first play, really.
Is this the first play? Well, we are honoured, and I know a lot of people are really looking forward to this. This is Adam Anton, Cool Zombie.
Thank you.
There you go. First new tune in 17 years. Well, on record, of course, from Animant, Cool Zombie. People loving this, Adam. People saying fantastic things about it. So great, music still sounding fresh and unique. I saw The Ants, says Jackie Myers, when I was 12 in January 1982. The first and best gig I've ever seen. Dean, saw you at Middlesbrough Rock Garden in 1979, and you were truly awesome. And that really, I'll deal with some more of these in a minute, but that really had that kind of swagger I was talking about, Adam, really did.
Oh, thank you.
It's classic elements in there, a bit of glam and a bit of, you know, and that sort of thing, but I think that's, it sounded terrific, and we've got a fantastic response to it, so...
Thank you.
Do you think, and also there's a sense that people, because obviously, you know, you had problems, you went away, mm-hmm. Do you think also people have been, there's a warmth and people saying, fantastic, you're back and you're, you know, you're fit and you're happy and you're healthy. Do you think that must be very heartening for you?
Yeah, the response to that and the autobiography I wrote a few years ago,
yeah.
It seems to me to be, you know, people feel very alienated and very alone by the taboo of mental health, and
yeah.
I think it's an intriguing feeling that you have a certain responsibility when you're in the public eye to, you either come clean or you don't.
Yeah.
And I've found that, you know, trying to, you know, share my experience has been something that has been embraced by people in the audience that have had the same things. And I recently read the Pete Townsend book, which
yeah.
is marvellous, and again,
yeah.
he's very upfront about it too, and I think the more of this that comes through is going to, you know, open it up for such a serious condition, you know.
Do you think that it's something in the nature of the business that you and Pete are in that might have been a contributing factor, or do you think that had you been an accountant, mm-hmm. it could have happened? I mean, do you think there's something innately a little bit unhealthy sometimes and crazy about the rock business?
Yeah, I think that the you know, when you start out, you're just doing it to play and have a laugh,
yeah.
and you're not dealing with it. But when it gets to a point when you're dealing with, it becomes a profession and you're dealing with, you know, a chart system and you're being, you know, evaluated every week virtually, and then you're in the public eye. It's a very gradual thing. It's a very gradual thing. And if you're, the writer, if you're writing the music and you're responsible creatively, you do
yeah.
take on an additional burden.
Yeah.
And it just mounts up. And I made the big mistake of not pacing it and just not taking any time off at all, because I thought
yeah.
it wasn't going to last for very long, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's very important to have the discipline to just say no, and that's the difference now between what I'm doing now and then, is I just say no when I don't want to do
fancy
it.
Yeah.
And that's the big education. But in answer to your question, it's there, it can happen, you know, as an accountant,
yeah.
whatever you're doing, you
yeah.
know, it can happen there, you know.
Yeah. Howell King in Flint, Michigan, saw you play at the Crowfoot Lounge Pontiac a few
yeah.
weeks ago, says it was fantastic. Don't stay away so long next time. The last time he saw you was in Cardiff in 1981.
Right.
Again, this is fantastic. Little girl of 10, Jenny, has seen Adam Ant a few times and loves him. She too has a poster on her wall, and we're going to see Adam in Cambridge in November. But she doesn't know until she hears this request. Oh, I hope I'm not spoiled the surprise, Joanna Oldham. But anyway, that's very wow. much looking forward to that. That must be really heartening that, you know, kids are liking your music. That must be great, you know, you're appealing to a whole new generation.
Yeah, and I look out on, you know, every night into the audience, and it's very, you know, can see them very clearly. And I think the other thing was, you know, when you go into the festival situation, like I've done a lot of festivals last year. I did the Atlanta Festival in Houston. Atlanta Festival. And you look out and you do a festival, and the thing there, it's a challenge, because it's not your audience necessarily. There are some people there to see you, but
sure.
you know, you're going on doing the Foo Fighters were on, you know, and you're playing to their audience, and you see the reaction of some of these kids that are clearly there not to come to see you, and you can actually see them, you know, getting into it, you know, and that's been in wonderful, and it's been seen as sort of younger audience and a mixed audience, and it's a bit of a challenge to do that. I really have enjoyed doing the festival side, but it's very, very mixed audience for me.
It's just a great sound. We'll grab people, won't it? I think it was at Latitude when I was walking along, and I think, were you playing in a tent at Latitude?
Yeah, it was raining. And
that's right.
Yeah, that was great.
And,
yeah.
I saw people, and like a few people were going, what's that sound? That sounds great. And people kind of gravitated towards these tents. And I heard people saying, it's Adam Ant. meant. You know what I mean? It's like people just drawn in by the sound. Let's have one of your favourite tunes that you've picked for us for a show and tell. Tell me what In Every Dream, Home and Heartache, Roxy Music means to you.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me of being a student, art student at Hornsey College of Art.
Right.
And having to sit there drawing kind of rocks and flowers for hours. And
right.
I was a total, you know, Roxy fan. I think the biggest influence on this was the wonderful lyrical, you know, intelligence and just Roxy's, you know, the whole album cover, the way it was worked out. It was a kind of very artistic way of approaching music that I hadn't ever seen before. And I just think it's Brian at his best, and it really influenced me to kind of want to write lyrics and put together a band and incorporate some of the stuff I was learning in art school into, you know, being involved in music. So when I left, I was able to, you know, I designed the covers, and I'm still very totally involved with the way the record looks as well as the record sounds. So I've got a big debt to this particular song, and it's also one of those songs, you know, every lyric. I think if you really, that's the big test of an album, you know, every single word off by heart, which I do. So
in every dream, home, a heartache, and every step I take takes me further from heaven. Is there a heaven? I'd like to think so. Standards of living, they're rising daily. But home, oh sweet home, it's only a saying. From bell push to faucet, in smart town apartment, a cottage is pretty, the main house a palace. Penthouse perfection, but what goes on? What to do there? Better to pray there. Open plan living, bungalow ranch style. All of its comforts seem so essential. I bought you mail order, my plain wrapper baby. Your skin is like vinyl, the perfect companion. You float in my new pool, deluxe and delightful, inflatable doll. My role is to serve you, disposable darling. Can't throw you away now. Immortal and life-size, my breath is inside you. I'll dress you up daily and keep you till death size. Inflatable doll, lover ungrateful, I blew up your body, but you blew my mind.
Patrick Hawley in St. Louis, Missouri. Spent his teens watching Saturday Night Live, Adam and the Ants, on USA Network's Night Flight. And great to hear from him, and possibility of seeing him in the US sometime. Sorry, rather sacrilegiously to take away Roxy there in their prime, but I want to get I want to play another tune of Adam's and mention the documentary. Tell us about this, Adam.
Yeah, about 18 months ago, a director called Jack Bond, who's a very well-respected director, he made a wonderful film, a documentary about Salvador Dali, Dali in Paris in 1964.
Right.
And which is worth looking at.
I think I've seen that. Yeah. I think I have. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, Jack did that. And we met up, and he kind of followed me around for a year while I was putting the band together, as I mentioned earlier, playing some of the London clubs and such like. And it's an interesting film. It's not glamorous. It's quite a sort of hard-hitting thing of what was happening at the time in my life, which was quite tough.
Yeah.
But it's an intriguing insight into, you know, putting a band together. And there's scenes in Paris, where I was staying in Paris, and following us around, and Charlotte Rampling comes into the studio, and there's a interesting conversation with Jamie from the Claxons and Mark Ronson. We all went to the studio in Tin Pan Alley where the Pistols used to rehearse.
Oh, yeah.
And we're sitting there discussing music. So it's quite an interesting little job, really, and I'm looking forward to it.
Fabulous. Mm. Lots of love for Cool Zombie. Cheryl, who's in London, in Canada, the other London, Cool Zombie, sounds fantastic, love it. And Johnny Riddell says, fantastic, the new Adamant definitely has a great swagger to it, so people are loving that. And you can catch Adam on tour for the whole of November, adam-ant.net, adam-ant.net, right through from Glasgow to Shepherd's Bush Empire, all through November, you can catch him. You're coming to Manchester, so we'll be there at the Ritz to see
you. Right, thank you.
Adamant is the blue-black hussar in Marrying the Gunner's Daughter, will be released early next year. Cool Zombie, though, is kind of available. Is it available now, Adam?
I believe so, yeah. I think it can be downloaded.
I think it can be. I'm being passed a piece of paper which tells me November the 19th. November the 19th. And the new film, The Blue Black Hussar, that we've just been talking about, that is, I'm not sure if I've got an accent. That is the release. That will be at the same time as the album early next year. Just very briefly before you go, Adam, tell me about Ganglions. These are a new band. What do you like about these?
This album, the Ganglions album, Monster Headroom, it was a couple of years ago I heard it. And I just thought this track, Valiant Brave, every now and again there's a song you wish you'd written.
Right.
It sounded like, some Apaches over a sort of mountain chanting. It's like, it's literally two chords.
Yeah.
And it's just a remarkably clever record.
Right.
And I just love the rawness of it. And I think that the vocal sound of it is just amazing. They sound like Sons of the Beach Boys, who actually are even tighter. You know, it sounds sacrilegious, but they sing so beautifully together.
Yeah.
And it's a marvellous... marvellous record.
Fabulous. We'll play it now as much as we can, and it's been lovely to talk to you as always, Adam.
Thanks very much.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Radcliffe and Maconie.
Six.
Six Music.
Handmade and watertight.